Welcome to TLDR Auspol, the podcast for the engaged-ish people of the world. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of TLDR.
Rhiannon.
Annabelle.
Hello.
Hi. So nice to see you.
You too.
You just did the cutest like giggle and like foot pop. Hey.
I'm just really, really happy to be here.
My crush is talking to me. It's really great to be here. Yes. Gosh, we are having fun with this little project.
Mm.
It's, I just frothed episode 2. I absolutely frothed it. I loved having a chat about the political spectrum.
I'd like to use frothed it as a bit more in my day-to-day vernacular.
I love that. Do you know a phrase I picked up from work this week is, I'm going to proceed until apprehended.
Hashtag squad goals.
That's got to be a button.
It's got to be a button. You can pick up froths and I'm going to start using, I'm going to proceed until apprehended.
So bougie is the other one. It's going to be my 2021.
Yeah, I love that. You're going for a bougie 2021.
Bougie 2021.
Love that.
It's a bit bougie.
It's a bit bougie. I can get around that. Annabelle, what are we doing here?
Well, I'm actually really excited about this podcast today and this topic. So we're talking about what is policy. And I was just thinking about, you know, I would hate to stand here and go, this is what policy is within, you know, the Labor Party, my party or anything like that. I think this is through the lens of what do we classify as policy on TLDR.
Yes.
And what does that lens look like for us?
Yeah.
And what are we going to frame all of our discussions through?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than saying
yeah. We're talking about everything politics.
Because as we said in episode 1, and just to remind everyone, we don't know what we're talking about.
We don't know what we're doing.
We're learning as much as anyone else in this. So this is for us to go, how do we look at this?
Yeah, and how do we kind of have an objective anchor to come back to, you know, because the thing is we do want to talk about some of the topical relevant issues that people get upset about.
Yep.
But our thing was, how do we do that without getting swept up in all of the emotion of it? And it's like, framing our political ideologies episode, last episode.
And we learned that last week, that we're going to ask everyone, even though it's a bit, you know, we're going to ask people how they sit politically and where they sit on the spectrum.
Exactly. And try and tackle a bit of that taboo around, like, you don't talk about where you sit. So, you know, like we've unashamedly said for 3 episodes now where we sit on the political spectrum and hopefully our guests feel comfortable doing the same.
Yeah.
Also, how do we keep drawing it back to, you know, I think one of the things that I've had my thoughts really challenged around in doing my post-grad study and really hooking into learning more about politics is like, what is the government's responsibility? You know, and when we look at a particular topic, what is the government's sphere of influence? So what can they actually influence?
100%. So important.
Yeah, because the thing is they can't influence everything. Everything is not their problem.
Absolutely. Like, and different levels of government have different responsibilities.
Exactly.
And as COVID has taught us.
Yes, exactly.
Who knew that we would all know who's responsible for aged care?
Yes, exactly. Or who knew that we would like all be so invested in the premiers and
we know who they are.
We know who they are more than we ever have. And there's this big kind of, there are many ways that the government does what it does and does what it is supposed to do.
Yep.
But we really wanted to explore how can we define that so that, we've got a clear anchor to constantly come back to.
I think it's really important, Rhiannon. What a great idea
you've
just come up with.
What an excellent idea. Must have had that in the shower. All my best ideas come in the shower. But it's interesting because like with most topics that we've kind of rolled around between us, we had really different ways of going about trying to understand what we were going to talk about for this episode.
And what is policy, Rhiannon? I'm really interested in your perspective because you're extremely intellectual about this stuff and I'm just a sort of fly by the seat of my pants kind of gal.
Well, the thing is, like I said last episode, I've been doing some postgrad study in public policy at the University of Sydney. Hashtag
so
SponCon.
A froth.
I wish.
It's a bit bougie.
And no university has enough money to be doing sponsored advertising in a podcast with 7 listeners right now.
SponCon.
But the interesting thing is because I went into uni being like, I want to understand politics. I want to understand policy. Mm. I'm pretty sure they're different things.
Yep.
So, like, how do I wrap my head around that? And the interesting thing was, I get into my first lecture and it's on policy, policy and power, or something along those lines.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's super juicy at times. It's so
You're
good.
Like, this will answer my question.
Yes, exactly. I might only need to do one course. How amazing. And the first thing that our lecturer said is, actually, I shouldn't describe in too much detail because whoever's done policy at UCL will like know exactly what I'm talking about, so I'm going to stop. But true. You know, he was like, the thing is that there's no definition, you know, and there's no, like, his words were actually like, you'll walk into a job at a government department and you'll be handed some kind of onboarding document that will have the policy process outlined for you. And it's just like a bunch of circles in a circle connected by a line. And it's like, this happens and then this happens. Like, the problem is identified and then the community is consulted and then an approach is drafted and it's endorsed and then you do it all again, right? But he was like, there's actually no real, like, no one has one single definition of policy. And it certainly is different from politics in that, like, politics is really the mechanism for a policy to be implemented.
Yeah.
You know, or it's a part of, like, the influencing, a part of the things that influence the way that a policy comes together. But policy and politics are inherently different.
I'm taking notes. This is good.
Yeah, wow. Like,
guys, we don't need to take this uni course.
Don't go do postgrad studies. Just come listen to me rant at the pub on a Friday night. Lol jokes, I'm never at the pub on a Friday night. I'm a nana. But the thing that I've heard at uni is that, like, policy is kind of everything to do with that process. You know, policy is the community consultation. Policy is the people that you choose to represent that particular issue. You know, Obama said that people are policy. So by putting Kamala Harris in the position that she's in, you're making a statement about your party's policy on diversity.
So interesting.
There's no document that says we're putting Kamala Harris in to encourage diversity and make sure that females are represented. You know, like, but they've stated a policy position.
What font is that? That feels like an italic font, like an italic, whatever.
It's definitely a serif font, you know, with the little tails and everything. But yes, so, you know, so much to say. I feel like I really went on a bit of a rant there. I'm surprised I didn't get buttoned.
I was hanging off every
I could feel you with
Sanskrit
me, which is why
word,
I didn't
every
go
cursive
anywhere.
Word.
That's right. But really what I've learned is that, like, there's no set definition of policy. And for us, that posed a kind of dangerous proposition, right? Because it was like, we could go with the broad church and be like, policy is everything.
It's a bill, it's an act, it's a
like, it's the selection of a particular spokesperson on an issue. It is the selection of a venue for a media conference, you know, or a press conference on a particular thing. Or we could go down the specific route, which I think when we first started, I was more in this camp of being like, no, it has to be a document, you know, there has to be a policy document, whether it's a bill, an act, or you know, one of the many hundreds of pages of long documents on one of the party, you know,
which you read faster than me, so
I attempt to. But, you know, so we kind of wanted to define a little bit, like, well, what is policy for TLDR, so that we constantly have this thing to come back to.
And there's a freedom in the fact that what you've just said about the fact that, you know, really it's undefined. So we can define it for us.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, you know, so you just ran for local council.
I did.
Tell me a bit about, like, what does the word policy mean to you?
Yeah.
What did it mean before you ran? What does it mean now?
It's interesting in local government because, you know, I ran as an endorsed Labor candidate, and so therefore I'm aligned with the Labor policy and values. But we were able to kind of, I'm going to say, make it up as we go a little bit based on the issues that were presented to us from the community. And looking at those issues through a Labor lens, but also through our own lens, you know, our own kind of, and I'm saying the royal we and our, because, you know, in my ward, there were, in my, in the Yarra Council, there are three wards. And so we had a Labor candidate in each. So there's three of us running, and then we had, you know, about three in our campaign team. So between the six of us, you know, we would have a lobby group, you know, a local lobby group, or an individual come to us saying, you know, what do you think about, for example, you know, gender equality on traffic lights, you know, on crossings, which was brought to us by a gorgeous little 5-year-old girl, you know, and all the way up through to, you know, actual like Streets Alive is an actual kind of, you know, organization, you know, that's a lobby group. And so, you know, we developed policy based on what was relevant to the, you know, people, in the area. Also by understanding the party, and it wasn't, there weren't documents of, you know, hundreds of pages, because I'm not going to write that. But, you know, they were dot points, like, we, you know, we will do X, Y, and Z. We believe that X, Y, and Z. So that was, for us, that was policy.
And I think the interesting thing about hearing you reflect on that, that kind of has just tweaked for me, is that, like, policy isn't a plan. It's not like a thorough plan. Like, here is everything down to the detail of how we go about something, but it's almost a statement of intention to say, like, you've brought this particular issue to us. Here's how we intend to approach it. Because I think one of the things that confused me previously, I'm easily confused at times, was that even though, you know, we don't have a Labor majority government at a federal level, the Labor Party still have policies. And I was like, well, hold on. Like, why do you have policies if you're not in government? Gosh, I sound like a goose saying that out loud, don't I? But I think the way that you've just explained it kind of has highlighted that to me, of like, it's a statement of intention to say, here's how we intend to approach a problem. And for, you know, for at a federal level to have those policies, the Labor Party still crafting policies and saying, here's how we would approach a particular issue, you're kind of, you're generating their interest, you know, and you're finding your tribe, you know, and you're hoping to build that tribe well before a federal election is announced. And so you will find policy documents on our major parties'
websites. And I think one of the things, you know, that's the reason that I joined the Labor Party was because when you actually join up, you're able to influence those policies, you know, and vote on them. And, you know, I'm part of the Socialist Left faction within the Labor Party, and I'd like to see the Labor Party align with that, you know, with those values and those ideologies. And
also, if you don't know what a faction is, just pop a little question in our Q&A story on our Instagram, and we'll find someone who can explain it better.
And, you know, I'm really proud of the decision that I've made, and you know, how I'm aligned. And yeah, as I say, I'd love to see the Labor Party align with that. You know, and so I'm really, it's really exciting to be able to vote with that, you know, and develop, you know, help develop and direct policy with my one little voice towards that. And, you know, that's how we create parties that actually represent
us. Which is, side note, and we can put this in the sandpit for a future episode. But like, I love
the first time you talked about the sandpit.
Wow, we've just really stayed on topic for our first few episodes, which is so unlike us.
Halfway through episode 3
something in the sandpit. But I'm really fascinated by the idea of what does representative politics look like currently. Because, anyway, it's in the sandpit. We may circle back to this at a future episode, because I was just about to go down a hectic rabbit warren. But, yes, it's how you find out how you're represented, you know, and how a particular party that you may throw your support behind will address a particular topic. And so, interestingly, there's a bit of a distinction here that we should probably make as well between the policy documents that you'll find on the party websites and the policy documents you'll find on, like, the departmental websites.
You know?
So if you go to the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet website, you'll find the policy documents from our, you know, Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. They're more like a plan, you know, like, and they are our current government saying this is how we're approaching a particular issue. The Liberal Party may actually have slightly different policies, even though we have a Liberal majority government, because it's kind of that, like, statement of intention turned into a plan by the time it gets to the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet website. So I think that was one of the things as well that I thought, oh, I never quite understood it. But slowly through these great conversations and through my study, it's all starting to kind of, the pennies are dropping for me. But yeah, you know,
that's really interesting.
There's a lot of different ways that the government talks about policy, and there are a lot of different places you can find policy, and being aware of what you're reading and where you're reading it, you know, and how it impacts you. You touched on something as well there that I think is probably also one for the sandpit. But you talked about understanding at a local level, like what your jurisdiction was, like what your understanding of what was actually doable for a local government, and then being able to then craft policy that you knew.
Yeah, it's a really important thing. I mean, it's for all of us to understand what the different levels of government are responsible for.
Yeah.
As voters.
Yeah.
And we will, I have found something from the Parliamentary Education Office. Really lovely little graphic, a little two-pager, which we can put in our further reading resources because, you know, this was something that I almost learnt on the fly after putting my hand up for local council.
Yeah.
You know, each level of government is responsible for different things. And, of course, as a Labor representative, people came to me, you know, we were in deep lockdown in Victoria at that point, you know, and people came to me with a whole bunch of issues, you know, that were important to them. You know, it was up to me to listen and try and craft my views. But, you know, and that was with a deep understanding of what I could actually control. You know, I'm not here to make a promise about something that I can't control. And an example that I had was we've got a medically safe injecting facility in the city of Yarra. And, you know, there's residents that would like to see it moved somewhere else, which became a topic of discussion in the council campaign, in the council elections. But it's not under the jurisdiction of the council. It's state government.
Yeah.
And so we even had candidates run on that, you know, that I'll move the medically safe injecting facility.
It's like, you
cannot. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, how? Tell me how. Because, you know, sure, you can advocate and lobby to move it.
Yeah.
But you advocating is sort of like your voice as a councillor is not necessarily any more stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that, it's not within that sphere.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that understanding what the different levels of government are responsible for, and I actually found within the Constitution that list. Wow. So
Girlfriend
we can pop that.
This week.
I know. This is very unlike me. So you've inspired me.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. That's, you said my line.
Yeah, I think for myself.
Sorry, I laughed too loud. That's really important for all of us to understand who creates what policy.
Who creates what policy.
But Rhiannon, what I'm interested from you is what we as TLDR's poll and what we are going to classify as policy.
Yeah, so we've debated the semantics of this for the last few days. I think
it's a loaded question that we've already
talked about. We have already talked about it. Had I actually decided on how I was going to answer it? No. I like a little bit of pressure.
Push you on the spot.
I think the way that we frame this is to say that we're going to bring it back to quite tangible and public government response.
I love that.
So,
what a surprise.
What a surprise. I've only said that phrase about a bunch of times on the phone in the last few days.
Although tangible.
So extra.
Oh.
A little bit of jargon.
A little bit of jargon.
Can you break
that
down a little bit more for us?
Yes. So, I'm going to use a slightly controversial example here because it was the one that... It's the topic that when we were talking about the podcast, we still haven't worked out a way of doing it that will be really authentic to the podcast, but also really sensitive to the cultural nuance of the issue, which is, you know, the culture of women in Parliament House.
Yes.
And at the time of recording this, you know, Christian Porter is on leave and we've got Linda Reynolds on leave and we've had Brittany Higgins come out in recent history. And so this is quite a topical thing. And
yes.
Talking about the podcast and telling people that, you know, we were doing this podcast on politics, people were expecting we would talk about things like that. And we want to be able to cover topics like that, right?
Yep.
But it's like, how do we do that in a manner that's authentic to the podcast and looks at policy, you know, and looks at the objective lens of what can the government do and what has the government done?
The particular government response
Yep. And so, for example, with that, you know, the inquiry... that's being pushed for and you know what are the actual like rules that the government's deciding are going to be implemented. In the past when this issue has come up, Malcolm Turnbull introduced the bonk ban, right, you know, for cabinet ministers, and so if and when we choose to address that topic, they're the kinds of things we'd be looking at and saying, well, what is the stance that the government took by coming out and and saying something that meant action occurred quite quickly.
And also, I think, you know, and this will be something for both of us and probably especially with this topic, but, you know, there are other topics as well that I'm really passionate about, and I know you are too, and guests that we get on will be as well.
Yeah.
But trying to keep really objective and keep that sort of impassioned kind of fiery nature out of that too, and just really objectively look at the government response.
Yeah, look at the government response and why it makes sense according to where on the spectrum they fall and the beliefs of the party and, you know, like all that kind of thing as well. So yeah, we're gonna use that as our, I guess, our like our compass as to like how do we stay on topic and how do we respect the podcast?
How
do we respect the objective space that we're creating here? How do we respect the really accepting space that we've created? And so, yeah, kind of bearing in mind everything we've just spoken about policy and that it can be a lot of different things and it is a lot of different things. Really what we're going to come back to with each topic is, okay, what has the government done about this? How do the different parts of the spectrum approach this particular issue and what is good for people to know about a particular policy and what it means. And then let people decide what they think about that particular policy. But really our anchor or our guiding light is coming back to that. But specifically, can you tell me about what the government has done?
And I'd really encourage people to reach out and communicate with us, you know, on our Instagram or, you know, however they want to, depending on how well you know us and if you've got our
listeners
number or what. But, you know, I'd really love to encourage that conversation. Yeah. And if we say something that you disagree with, you know, let's have a talk about it, because I'm going to froth that.
Oh, wow.
Did I use that in the right? I don't even think that was the right context.
Yeah, no, you did. You totally did. And like, yeah, it was great. I nearly laughed really loudly, but I'd heard all our listeners' ears. But yes, so this space is about conversation. And yeah, so I actually don't think I have a whole lot more to say on this particular
topic. Well, we've over the last couple of episodes, we've identified that, you know, the political spectrum and that, you know, that's something that we want to make sure is front and center.
Yeah.
And now we're talking, and now we've identified policy, hopefully, or what we mean by policy. And they're the two kind of themes, apart from introducing ourselves making you fall in love with us. You know, they're the two themes that we want to bring through this podcast.
Absolutely. So, and they're the lenses that we think are really important for these conversations to stay constructive. And so, yeah.
And avoid the button, getting the button pressed.
Yeah, there wasn't many buttons this
episode. I think I'm a bit button happy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you were pretty button happy.
We might need
episode
a bit of
two.
A button. Tally.
A tally. Who's been naughty on the podcast?
I think, you know, let's bring on some issues.
Yes. And that's the other thing that I would love to say before we bid you adieu and let you get back on with your day, is that we're now at the point where we're going to launch into a couple of these conversations and start looking at some policy areas. Again, reiterating that we aren't experts in any particular policy area at all. So we're learning on this journey as well. So if there are particular policy areas that you want to hear about, please let us know. Drop us a note on Insta.
Love that.
Because we'd love to learn with you and explore that topic with you. So with that, let's wrap up Ep 3, Annabelle. It's been an absolute delight.
Can I have another go at how to ways to keep in touch? Because those of you who listened last episode, it was shocking.
You did butcher it a little bit. I was like, okay, we're learning.
Can I do it really, really well this time, right?
Yeah, take us to the outro.
So you can keep in touch with us. You can follow us on Instagram at @TLDR_Ozpol. And you can listen to this podcast wherever you get your good podcast from.
Exactly. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Awesome. Have a great week.
Thanks,
wait
guys.
To see you.
Bye, Ree.
Bye, Annabelle.